And the co-host of the show, Thief Sankar. And along with the rest of the crew, DJ Nicholas. Special guest DJ. With the news,
Brian Amplified.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. On CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.
Not too smart, Stretch, are you? I'm just nervous because Everything went wrong with me there for a few minutes. Drew, big up yourself and come across and talk with me because we're looking for D-Nice. D-Nice, one of my favorite DJs, and I hope he will log on at some time. It's what now? It's 6 minutes after the hour, 4 o'clock. Let me say a pleasant good afternoon to you, those of you who are joining us. We have a station all the way in beautiful Washington, which I'm going to tell you about. Maryland, one of them lands, who is running the show this afternoon with us. So West Indian Rhythms, CKUT 90.3 FM. And I'm waiting for D-Nice, but until he gets here, maybe we can talk a little bit more. And everything you know, somebody, Drew, can you hear me? I'm not hearing you, Drew.
Uncle Howard, what's up, man?
D-Nice!
What's up, man?
Hey! Man, you're looking good. You're looking good. Damn, that sunshine is agreeing with you, brother.
What? Man, hold on. Let me elevate this so I'm not looking down.
All right.
Grab a couple of books.
Hi, Stretch. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Well, we finally found him. You seen him?
Yeah, I saw him.
Yes. D-Nice.
Hold on now. Let me elevate this so we're not looking down. All right, there you go.
There we go. Hey, you should have taken us to that fancy studio you got there, brother.
Well, hold on. I can do that. Hold on. I'm in a, that requires
I don't know what it requires, but that studio is as we say in Jamaican language, bossy. I want the listeners to see this. What you're looking at there, folks, and let me just jump into it and say that's history. And you're gonna be surprised at the history this guy has behind that name, D-Nice. I was just playing us one of his songs. You know what? I think I'll play it back again because in the early years, as soon as he sits, there he is in his studio.
Hold on, let me try to turn this up. I got to get the lights going.
Yeah. Let me just put this in the background. My name is
D-Nice. Yeah, man.
He's been at the forefront of hip-hop, and he touched on a little reggae sometimes, too, because this is where they're coming from. And music is where they're coming from, and they have launched a thing that has never changed. Maybe I'm the older guy here. Not maybe, I am. But I totally, totally love this type of hip-hop. What about you, Drew?
I love the old school. There's nothing like old school when it comes to hip-hop, reggae, soca, anything. Or like, you know, old school, is it?
Yeah, because these guys started real young, and they continued. We're going to get into a little bit of history.
So we're in my studio, but I'm just showing you right now what the studio looks like. You know, got the lights, everything.
Wow.
I got cameras in here. You know, like I
Beautiful.
Really built it out.
Beautiful.
My booth is an LED booth. But for this interview, I got to keep this close to me, so I'm going to sit it over here.
Yes, keep it close to you because we want to talk with you, brother. Trust me. You know,
right.
You could be my son. You're like Michael to me.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So here we go.
We're
now.
Family, man. We are family.
Family, my brother. Family. I always look at it that way. It's nice to see you.
Likewise, man.
Not in a working mood, just in a relaxed mood, and you're ready to talk to us. So I'm going to hit you with the first question. Originally, you're from the Bronx.
Yes, sir. Well, I was born in Harlem.
Ah.
Born in Harlem Hospital. That's where I'm from. I moved to the Bronx when I was a kid. So, like, my formative years were in the Bronx. But technically, I'm from Harlem.
Ah. No, what part of the Bronx you lived in? You grew up South Bronx? Because I was afraid of South Bronx, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, KRS-One, who started our group, KRS-One was from the South Bronx. I lived in an area called High Bridge. So High Bridge was kind of notorious, but High Bridge is the birthplace of hip hop. like right down the street where Cool Herc and those guys, you know, Cedric Avenue. That's the area that I grew up in. But KRS was from the South Bronx, which was like super rough. I grew up by Yankee Stadium.
Ah, can I tell you a little secret? But before I get there, let me just ask you this. When did your musical path start? And in that time, being so young, how did it feel?
My musical path started at 15 years old. And it just felt like fun. You know, like I never imagined being where I am now. It felt like fun. That's why those records, even though we were talking about what was going on in our neighborhood, musically, it was, and sonically, it was still fun records to make. You know, like South Bronx, we're talking about, you know, the Boogie Down Bronx, but it was still like a fun record, you know. You know, I wouldn't change anything about the early days of hip hop for me, you know, like that's what makes like being 50, you know, I'm 50 years old and relevant to the
looking
world.
Looking 35.
I'll take that.
Yes, looking, you know, good, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yes. There's another familiar face you're looking at here. I'm going to introduce you to them. Two of Montreal's favorite DJs, Don Smooth, a former radio man like myself, K103, and of course, Drew, who is controlling the sound.
What's up, the Smooth?
You
mean, what's up, D-Nice?
D-Nice.
What's up, man?
Mr. Stretch, I just want to say this because I never thought I would have this opportunity.
Hang with Stretch. You'll have all these opportunities because this is family you're talking to here.
This is a beautiful thing, man. This is a blessing, really. I just wanted to take a moment and say that when I was starting on my first, and the people I went to high school would notice, my name was D Smooth, and that was off of the strength of my name is D Nice Record. That's how my DJ name started. It was D Smooth, and it was off of the strength of that D Nice Record. They call me D Nice. That's how much of an impact. Just wanted to let you know how far your impact went into a high school in Montreal, Canada, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
Man, that's awesome. Are you're still in Montreal, right?
I'm still in Montreal, still DJing, still doing my thing.
I love Montreal. I visited there twice. I did a private event out there, and I kind of fell in love with the city. I didn't realize. I mean, obviously, you know, I know it was heavily influenced with, like, jazz music.
Yes. But you're totally right, like, there.
Yeah, when I was out there, just the love of music from people was just awesome new experience, man. So I can't wait for this to be over to return.
Let me ask you something, D-Nice. Because in 1988, Henry Antoine, a promoter here in Montreal, had brought up, what's his name? Your rapper,
KRS.
KRS. My KRS God, won. He's going to kill me. He came to Montreal. Did you come on that trip, 1988?
Anything? So 1988, if KRS was here, or in Montreal, I was there with him.
Yes.
I was KRS's DJ from...
That's what I was about to ask you.
Yeah. So, yeah, because we were doing shows out there. I was young, though, so I was like...
It was
around
fun.
That time, I was 18 years old, so I wasn't really paying attention to all the places. I just remember, like...
Yes.
I remember clearly going to Toronto. I remember we did a run in Canada, so I remember being in Vancouver because... I remember where we performed. We were performing at, like, it was like...
I like that.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to plug this in.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No. My power is going to go out. That's what I was saying. Let me plug this in. Hold on one sec.
I thought it was only in Canada we had this power thing because, you know, my power went off in Pierrefonds for 3 hours the other day.
No. That's why I was late signing on. My iPad was dead. Yeah, I would have used...
You're doing,
like,
too many things
setup
at the same time.
Say it again?
You're doing too many things at the same time.
No. I wouldn't say that, man. I've had a long week because we have... I'm in the middle of dropping a single, you know, in 2 weeks. So we've just been preparing for that. So a lot of calls, a lot of interviews. It's going to be awesome. But I was saying, like, I remember performing in Vancouver because we performed at like a fair, like, you know, like almost like Six Flags kind of vibe, you know, like we were doing those shows in Canada. So I do remember that. But now Montreal is awesome.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things I want to, hey, you guys can jump in, you know, don't let Stretch hog the show, okay? But I have some questions. I want to know, how was it working, being part of the Boogie Down production crew, like Scott LaRock and KRS-One, and yeah, I like that picture. How was it working with all these guys?
Well, you know, just from my memory, just remembering those times, it was always DJ Scott LaRock was one, my mentor, and KRS-One's mentor. You know, he was the social worker at the men's shelter in the Bronx where KRS-One lived.
Right.
And my cousin was a security guard there. Mm. So Scott was his, you know, it was just awesome. Like, he taught me how to DJ, taught me how to produce music. KRS-One pretty much showed me how to, like, write lyrics, you know. A lot of people don't know, part of my big record, Call Me D-Nice, KRS-One wrote the first verse. You know what I mean? Like, I wrote the second verse, KRS wrote the first verse to show me how I should be as an MC, you know, and I just still kept it. And that was always, like, the blueprint for me in terms of, like, hip-hop. So, like, being with those guys, it was always about knowing how to do everything. You know, that's, you know, I mean, that's what kind of makes me, I don't want to say great, that's what heavily influences how I perform now as a DJ, being in control and being in command and allowing people to see who I truly am. And it's because of that direct reflection of what I learned back in the day with BEP.
All right. You said KRS-One influenced you and the other guy. Now, what would you say to these two DJs sitting across from me right here in Montreal?
Oh, man, I don't think I have to say anything to these guys, man. First of all, D-Smooth.
D-Smooth, you won't leave this down. I'll be calling you that from now on.
Blessed, man. I don't want to leave this down.
What happened to me as a DJ has been very... it's been inspiring. Even to myself, I look back at my own story and I'm like, wow, like, I can't believe where I am as a DJ. You know, like, when I started, after I left hip hop, you know, and you know, the struggle was different. It wasn't a terrible struggle. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a bad struggle because I've always been surrounded by love. But when you think about the struggle of not having the career that you want, you know, the career, when you have a taste of fame and then you lose it, nothing, you know, just things weren't the same. Things weren't easy. But I also know that was God's way of preparing me for where I am now, because without those struggles and without the struggles of not having the career, because like I said, I've always been surrounded by family. You know, I've always been surrounded by family, and nothing ever seemed like a struggle in terms of that. But it's like when you have this desire to live a life with no regrets in terms of, like, career. When I look back on it, I'm like, man, it is the reason why I'm here right now, is because I really did work hard, and I do work hard.
Work hard. And I don't tell them too much about where you are.
Stretch, if I could ask a quick
question. Let me just finish this, because I don't want D-Nice telling everybody, because I want them to sit and listen. Don't tell them too much where you are at the moment, because you are where everybody would love to be. But anyway, go ahead, young man.
Yeah, like he said, like, he's at a point now where, obviously, it's safe to say, like, this is the peak, the climax of your career at this point, right?
By far, I can tell you right now, from my BDP days, those days pale in comparison to what's happening right now. This is different.
So now, like, I mean, you led the revolution of the online streaming for DJing. I read that you said, you know, you've been working on doing your DJ album now for, like, nearly a decade. Now everybody is coming to you and wants to be on this record. How do you manage to filter out who you're going to mess with? Do you ever hold any resentment for those that you reached out to in the past that, you know, didn't return the favor, but now everybody's coming to you? How do you handle that?
I don't harbor ill feelings at all. You know, like, those... You know, the only person that can be bothered by those feelings is the individual that's holding those feelings. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I let it all go. I don't knock anyone, because the thing about it is, all of those things had to happen for me to be in this space.
Gotcha.
You know, like, so that's why I just let it all go. Like, for me to be in this very space right here, I had to the doors had to be shut. You know, like,
I feel you. Yeah.
I wasn't ready for where I am right now, you know, and it had success. This type of success happened years ago. I probably would have been an egomaniac. You know what I mean? Like, but because it happened at an older age, I'm in a position to help guide people and help, you know, fundraise and raise, you know, millions of dollars for people and for organizations virtually through DJing, you know, like I raised money for HBCUs and raised, you know, had that amplified with a partner, you know, and, you know, raised money for, you know, little girl dying of cancer. You know, she, unfortunately she passed away, but, you know, on my IG live, I raised like $100,000 for her, you know, for her family, cover their expenses, you know, like things like that, you know, raise, you know, nearly $500,000 for the CDC Foundation when the pandemic first hit by just selling shirts. Will Smith and I, you know, we created the D-Nice Club quarantine shirt.
I was trying to beg one of them shirts. They look beautiful. If you'll see, if you'll see, you know, what I have on here, it was done by Drew. It says, oh, boy.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I love it.
You're going to have to send me one of those, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, let him put on one of them that night. There's 100,000 people going to see that shirt.
D-Nice, I want to ask you a question. I'm rolling back past a year ago, right? You know, you're fully booked. You know, I mean, you're doing the club circuit. You're doing everything you're doing. And then the pandemic hits everyone. You know what I mean? What state of mind were you in when all of that happened, knowing that all your booking is going to, all your probably going to go out the window? And at what point did you say, you know what, I'm going to take this show online?
Well, at that point, you know, because I've been, you know, heavily involved for the last like decade in politics, you know, obviously I DJed for the Obamas and I did, you know, the inaugural ball. And, I was on the road with like Joe Biden during his second, you know, run for office. I knew people that were, you know, just kind of like involved in politics. And when I reached out to them asking them like, man, how long do you think this is going to go? When the former administration was saying, oh, this is going to be a 2-month quarantine. My people were like, man, there's no way. We don't even have a cure for this. We don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So that's when I became scared, because I knew where I was financially and I was watching all my gigs cancel. Like, yeah, that was a terrible thing. You know, like you work. Look, I'm not a new DJ. No. So I couldn't. There's no starting over. You know what I mean? Like, I really worked hard on this career and this is what I love. So, you know, of course, like everyone else, I was afraid, like, man, what's life going to look like, you know, a year from now? Am I still going to be booked? Like, I'm watching these gigs cancel, you know, and this was pre-club quarantine. There was no club quarantine. This was just me working on the strength of my name and being consistent for all of these years. And when that little bit of fear hit me, that's when I started DJing online. It was, you know, I was home alone. You know, I wasn't quarantined with my family. As a matter of fact, I don't even have family in LA. You know, like I moved to LA because I need some sunshine and I wanted a little bit of change. Being out here when people were, you know, quarantining with their families, I was just alone. My way of staying connected was to jump online and to share stories, not even to DJ. It was to play a couple of songs and tell, like, hey, I would play a little bit of Call Me D-Nice. Like, oh, I remember I did this show back in 1990 and I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and I would share the story. Then I'd play another song like, oh, I remember back in like 1987, we were in this club called The Rooftop and Brucey B was DJing. Like, I was sharing those stories and it was like just under 200 people there. And the next day, more people came and I played a little bit longer. Then by day three, I played for like 9 hours of music.
Yes, that is what I was going to ask you. But hold that thought there, D-Nice, because if you don't, somebody is going to whip me in my head for not playing their commercials. So just hang on a minute for me, all right? You're listening to one of the world's famous DJs in the studios, not in the studios, on Zoom, all the way from beautiful Los Angeles. D-Nice is in the studios with us, so We're going to pay some bills, and then we'll get back to you. All right? So keep it locked. Those of you who are in Washington, D.C., logged on to West Indian Rhythms here in Montreal. Good afternoon. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Because ici, we parle français. Right, guys?
Oui, oui.
You're of no use to me. We're going to pay some bills, and then we'll get back to you.
Trinidadian flavors. Open 6 days a week till 8 p.m. Closed on Mondays. Call 514-587-8423 TNT Palace 6343 Victoria.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Tonight, sweetie, I'm making you your favorite meal. It's the least I can do after an entire week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your friends, and shouting at you. Yeah, tonight, I'm making you your favorite meal so I can start another week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your...
Violence against women stops here. Contact SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Now more than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves.
Yeah. Why did you hate to admit it? Your name is D-Nice.
That was KRS. I explained earlier, KRS wrote the first verse. So that was about being arrogant. Like, oh, I'm D-Nice, but I hate to admit it. Like, it was just that arrogant vibe of hip hop. You know, I was always supposed to be different from Chris. Chris was more political. I was young. So I was supposed to, instead of like being Flavor Flav to Chess D, like where Flavor was silly, I was supposed to be the dude that like attracted all of the young girls to love the group while KRS spread it, you know, while he put the message out there.
Right.
So, yeah, it was fun though, man. I miss those days. Yes. I love where I am right now in life, but I miss those days.
Yeah, well, you were younger then and you didn't think of money. You didn't think of nothing.
Yeah.
What was the question you had asked?
We didn't have all these bills to pay.
Exactly. Sorry about that when I cut you off. You were telling us. Anyway, do any of you guys remember where we were there?
No, yeah, I know exactly where we were.
Okay.
Uncle Howard, here we go. So I was saying, you know, by day three, that's when this thing really started to take on a life of its own, it started to mean something to people. Like people, we were pretending to be in a club. And by day three, someone was like, hey, this is like, it feels like a real club. You should call it Club Quarantine. And that's when I changed the name of it to Club Quarantine.
I had that question.
You know, it used to be called Homeschool when I first started because I was sharing these stories about music. And then it became Club Quarantine by day three. And day three, I called one of my buddies, legendary DJ Clark Kent. And I said to him, I was like, man, this thing feels different. It feels real. Like, and he said, yo, you should actually start DJing now. And that's when I connected turntables and started playing music and DJing. And then from there, it just took off, man.
Wow. When you said play music, what kind of music were you playing? Would you be playing what Montreal is playing?
I play everything, you know, like I literally play. Now I kind of narrow it down because I enjoy playing a lot of R&B always, you know, but like in the beginning and certain sets that I do are always themed sets
because there's so much music to be played. Those early days, I mixed everything. That's why I'm able to do these 19-hour sets, 19 straight hours, because I listen to Afrobeat, I listen to South African house, I listen to soca, I listen to reggae, I listen, you know,
do
to
everything.
80s pop, you know, yacht music, you know what I mean? I listen to R&B, I listen to 90s hip-hop, I listen to current hip-hop. So I can do long sets like that because I know so much music, and I love it. I love it all. You know, my anniversary for Club Quarantine is coming up on the 19th of this month. I'm actually going to play 24 hours straight.
You alone?
24 hours straight.
I'm going to play 24 hours straight.
Stretch it. You know? How does that work?
Yeah, how
no
does that work?
Breaks, no eating?
When do you sleep?
No, I still eat. I mean, the screen is narrow. The screen is narrow. See, what y'all don't see is through the narrow screen, I usually have about like 8 strippers on this side. I have a bottle service girl over here. That's just all in my mind, man. It's all in my mind. I have catering behind me. No.
Be nice.
But
when?
Like, I do eat. I just like, I'll put a song on and then I may have like a little, you know, a little salad on the side or something, or maybe a sandwich. You know, usually I'm like, yo, I'm going to let it breathe, and then I'm off to the side, and, you know, back. I never let people see me eat, but, you know, I definitely eat. But
24 hours.
When do you actually sleep?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning.
Drew. You're hit.
7 o'clock. You were on, and I was saying, man, this guy's not going to sleep. We're not going to see him on the interview today because he's going to need his rest.
Drew,
you know what happened to D-Nice?
I heard he fell asleep one day while doing the show.
No.
Explain that.
I actually didn't end my live. I thought I ended the live and I left. And there are still like 4,000 people in there for hours just having their own party with no music playing.
Wow.
But what happened this morning was that I went to bed early. I function on 5 hours sleep. Like, I'm good. Yeah. But I went to bed early last night. I did Kenny Smith, NBA guy. I did his NBA All-Star virtual party.
Yeah.
So we did it on my IG and we did it on, like, Zoom. We had two things going. I did that set and then I went to bed. And I woke up and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I was like, yo, I didn't feel like reading. I was like, yo, I should just get on and play music. Because usually that time of morning, like, you know, I expect it to be like, you know, 1,000 people. I still have the screen. I just literally just turn it off. It was like 30,000 people in there. For me, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and people are like just up listening to me play music. And Deborah Cox, all these singers are in there. I'm like, wow, like clearly no one could sleep, man.
What?
Hey, D-Nice, I'm wondering, I want to ask, because you said, like, you do these marathon sets, 19 hours and all of that, and any DJ knows, like, when you get on IG, if you know, the copyrights, they hit you, they flag you, you're gone, like, in the first 10, 15 minutes. So I was wondering with you, was there a conversation? What was the conversation? Was it between you and Instagram, or are you on the labels that allow you to play the music without getting the flags and without getting hit?
Good question.
No, I actually never had a conversation with anyone. I think they just, you know, they probably, maybe the rec, you know, a lot of the record companies reached out to me wanting me to play their music. So, you know, that's probably a conversation that they had with IG. Like, I still get flagged. I get flagged. That's why I don't play any Jay-Z. I don't play any. Like, you don't hear me play those records.
Right.
See, a lot of DJs, the thing is, if you have success playing a song, because these platforms don't have the rights to play music, but if you have success playing a certain song, you should just make a note of it, like, oh, you know what, I played that, it kind of went through, like, that's why you've never heard me, I don't play Jay-Z. I'm like, oh, I get it, like,
right,
play,
right, right. Day,
10 minutes later I'm kicked off. I don't play Rihanna, I don't play these songs, I don't play Drake. Not that I don't want to, I just know that I'll get flagged. So, you know, you just got to know. I mean, and that's why I use the echo a lot. Like there are tricks to it for me. Mm. Some DJs like to just play the music straight. Me, I like to speed it up some. I like to use the effects on the mixer. You know, I'm using a DJM S11 right here. Amazing, amazing effects. Like, you know, I'll put all of that on there. And that kind of became my style, like a signature. But people don't realize That's not the way that I was DJing pre-pandemic. That's the way that I learned to DJ in order to not be flagged as much. So that's, you know, and I just kind of made it a part of my thing, made it a part of my sound. So, yeah.
Going from always DJing for crowds and an audience and having that instant reaction, how did you adjust to now doing it virtually where you're, you know, you're in your crib, you're in your living room, and you're not getting that live reaction? How did you find you had to make that adjustment?
So it's really based on the comments. Mm-hmm. Like if people are in the comments and they're leaving hearts, you know, like on IG, you see the hearts flying on the side.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're constantly seeing hearts fly, that means that someone is sitting there pressing that button.
Yeah.
You're not pressing the button if you're not having a good time. Also, I pay attention to like how many people are in there. Like if the number keeps going up or if it levels out and it's not dropping, that means that people are really having a good time. So in my mind, sometimes I'll just close my eyes and I'll just imagine seeing all of these people there. You know, like last night on Kenny Smith thing, you know, there were, at the end of my set, it said it was like 122,000 people there. But it was like, because people have things to do. Like people usually go in and out. People go in and out. My set was 2.5 hours long. You know, some people hook it up, you know, to their systems. But people are usually like, they'll come in for 10 minutes and leave. They'll come and hear some music, then their phone rings, then Instagram kicks you out when you answer your phone. Yeah. But like, they were consistently, like, for that entire, like, time, it was consistently, like, 7,000 people in there going in and out. But the number stayed at 7K. So that means that people really love, you know, like, they love the music. And, I just use my imagination. It's crazy because it feels like I'm there with people.
Yeah. No, it really does. And you get that vibe. When you're in the room and people are in and out, I see people are conversating back and forth with each other. And you really get, you take yourself there mentally. Like, you really get that vibe. Do you think it's going to continue when things open back up globally? Do you think this aspect, this DJ live streaming, is now going to remain in the culture? And
oh, absolutely.
Right. It's absolutely here to stay. Like, it's here to stay, you believe?
I wanted to do this DJ streaming for a long time. That's what makes, I don't know what your situation is, your relationship with God is, but I'm telling you right now, like, this was all, like, this was divine. I saw it happen
destiny
before club quarantine. You know, like, in December of last year, I kept telling my friends, like, man, 2020 is going to be the biggest year for me. Didn't know how. I just kept saying it was going to be the biggest year for me. Then I had another conversation, and I was like, man, one day I wish I could, like, because I was tired of being on planes all the time. Like, man, I wish I could just DJ from home and, like, have it piped into someone's, like, the club. Like, I don't know if people would be into that. And, like, here you have it. Like, I have a freaking club in my house now. You know, yeah. Like, I have a club here. And I'm, like, DJing for people all over the world. Like, and it's a community now. It's not even just about DJing at this point. There is a community. I mean, if you saw me DJing this morning, that you saw those people in there. It's the middle of the night. The people are in there just listen. And I wasn't playing party records. I was playing slow songs.
Old songs.
People were just in there listening to music and, like, communicating with their friends and meeting up. People have, like, love and respect for people that they've actually never met in person, that they only met in IG. And if you go to any other DJ's lives, there's no community like that. There's no DJ that keeps the numbers that I do. So I know it's not just about the music. It is a safe space for people.
All right.
You know, people do feel comfortable with that.
Let me just acknowledge some of the people. Allison Garraway, all the way in beautiful Maryland, is online. And Chantel.
They're on here right now?
Yeah, they're all over the place. I'm not going to be reading all of that because that will take up all our time here. Just listening to you and the DJs, listening to you DJs talking, I realize, it looks good and easy because you're spinning to this there and all that. And with my young DJ, I have a young DJ working with DJ Nicholas. He's not a talker or else I would have had him on here. And he's very good at what he does. And they're just like these two. And there's another one called My Original DJ, who knows everything about you guys. You can't hide nothing. He's in Jamaica, or else he would have been here too. His name is DJ Butcher T. But, you know, I'm wondering, when do you get tired? Because you say you move on 5 hours sleep, and every time I fool around, D-Nice is on.
When you do what you love, you know, you don't even think about being tired. You know, like, I get to play music for a living. I love music. I'm an artist. I'm a producer. I'm a DJ, and I get to still play music for people all over the world. And when you know that the music is affecting people, the music saved lives, you know, during this time, during this pandemic. So sometimes when I go on live, it's not just because I want to DJ. It's because I know that there are people out there that really need to hear the music because their minds aren't right at that moment. You know, in that moment, they're battling with depression. Yep. People have lost jobs.
Yep.
People have lost family, you know, members, and friends have died. I mean, personally, throughout this pandemic, I lost multiple friends, from Andre Harrell, like, wow. you know, Ecstasy from Houdini, you know, just the other day, Prince Marky D from the Fat Boys. These are like my friends. Prince Marky D was in my IG live every time I was on, you know, and yeah, like watching people die, you know. So I know that the music has been saving lives and music has been keeping people inspired. And that's my reason for getting on.
All right.
You know, it's not. Yeah.
And we are enjoying it, believe you me.
Good time.
I'm just going to hit you with something that these guys don't know about you. Other than being a DJ, a rapper, producer, how did photography slip in the mix?
I always loved photography, but I didn't start taking it seriously until I met an iconic photographer by the name of Gordon Parks. Gordon Parks was the first Black photographer for Life magazine.
Yes.
You know, he was also a director. He directed the original Shaft movie. He was also a published author. He was also a musician. You know, his book, you know, is part of, like, you know, the school curriculum. You know, so when I met him, he was a true Renaissance man. And he photographed me with a bunch of hip hop artists to recreate this poster called A Great Day. It was a jazz poster from like the 50s and 60s, whatever, called A Great Day in Harlem with all of the jazz musicians. So they recreated that shot with all the hip hoppers that were out at that time. And watching a man that he, you know, when he transitioned, when he passed on, he was in his 90s. So at that point, he was like in his 70s. So to watch someone in his 70s still do what they love and still be passionate about it, I was like, man, I want to be like that. And then I started taking pictures and always had a camera with me. And later on, when I returned to the music business after like being gone for nearly a decade, I returned as a web developer. And then I started adding photography into it. So, yes, I shot campaigns. I shot album covers from artists like Talib Kweli to Carl Thomas to I was a feature photographer on America's Next Top Model.
Wow.
I shot two campaigns for 50 Cent for Reebok. You know, like, yeah, Grey Goose campaigns, Nike campaigns, all while DJing. I just don't shoot that much anymore because I DJ a lot. And as much as photography is my passion, DJing is something that I'm really, really into right now. So I tend to do more DJing.
Man.
That's incredible. And you're dropping an album soon.
I'm dropping a single in 2 weeks. I wish I could tell you who's featured on it. It's a huge artist. But I'm not going to say anything until the 19th because the single will be out on the 19th. And that's when I'm going live to talk about that record. You know what I mean? Like, in it's a strong record. We've been working on the album now. The album will definitely be out at the end of June, towards the end of Black Music Month. But yeah, the single will be out in actually less than 2 weeks.
I'm curious, what's the approach? Because when it says DJ album, does that mean you're doing the production? Does that mean you're going to be doing ad-libs? Is it going to be...
More, it's a combination of both. More for, like, co-production and, of course, ad-libs on it. Selecting, you know, the artists that I want to work with. yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm fully involved in it. You know, I was, they were trying to get me on another meeting, but I, you know, I couldn't disappoint Uncle Howard. They were trying to get me this meeting right now.
Thank you.
D-Nice,
thanks, Uncle Howard.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you.
I don't think I would have been able to explain this to him. Like, listen, man, I can't do the Zoom.
I would like, sit to you the next time I see you. I would let Michael hold two hands and I'd sit and we'd stifle you. But thanks, man. Oh, man. I appreciate it.
I wasn't going to miss this. No. Yeah. Especially because he told me, he said he had a couple of his buddy DJs that were going to be on, man. So I was looking forward to meeting you guys.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
What's his name again? D?
D Smooth. Come on now.
See that?
I didn't say it on D Smooth.
I need a copy of this. I'm going to sample that.
Yes, you have to. You know, you had a question for him because we're running out of time.
Yeah. Stretch, I think my mic might be giving a little bit of trouble. Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question. I heard an interview with you and we were talking about your album coming out and record labels and that. And in the interview, you were saying that when you started the quarantine club, that record labels reached out to you and you spoke to them, but you never got back to them. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, so early on during the pandemic, it was about playing music. People saw the wave happening. And, you know, a lot of record companies wanted to get involved with what I was doing. So, you know, say if it was XYZ record company, they wanted me to call it XYZ Friday. I didn't take the money because it was, for the first time in my career, I felt like I was in full control of something that I created. Mm-hmm. You know, like I created this thing. I created this club quarantine and this concept and for people to be here and to hear music. And I didn't want to give that away to anyone. Like the feeling of it was just great of like, wow, like I did this. Like when I was making rap records, I lived in the shadow of KRS-One. I lived in the shadow of some of the greatest artists that were out during that time. You know, like, no, I wasn't as popular as LL Cool J. No, I wasn't as popular as Rakim. You know, the rappers from my era. Well, here we are now in this day with what I was doing and what I felt. I was like, man, this is actually my thing. So I don't want to call it XYZ Fridays. Like, no, it's just going to be Club Quarantine. And if someone wants to, you know, want me to DJ or be part of it, cool. It's still going to be Club Quarantine. It may be presented, you know, but that top header is going to be Club Quarantine because this is my thing. This is what I worked for. It's what I worked for all of these decades. So it's never disrespect to any of the record companies because I truly, truly appreciate the support that they've given me. You know, I've done record company events on my, you know, on my IG Live, and I've also done private events via Zoom. So my studio here wasn't built for my IG DJ set. My studio is actually built for my Zoom performances and like those platforms. That's why I have like multiple cameras all over, studio lights. And it's because I do those types of events. So I'm truly humbled that record companies and other brands feel good enough about the brand that I built that they wanted to be part of what they're doing. And I'm glad that I said no in the beginning because it would have been a different type of thing. It wouldn't have been what this is. It wouldn't have had the same integrity. It wouldn't have had the same level of respect that it does right now and that I do. Because I don't do everyone's thing. I don't do everything. And I also stay true to the followers, to the people that, you know, like I could easily just run off in the sunset and not DJ on IG ever again because I have so many private events. But I go on IG, like I said earlier, because people need to hear the music. You know, and it's always going to come from a good space.
We got 10 minutes to go, but I have to ask you about this. I just want you guys to listen to this. Now, I used to rock because we had cassettes in them days, okay? And whenever we went to New York to pick up records or whatever we did, there was a record store in Bronx, I think it's called Tad's or Pad's or something. And they had introduced us to this song. And, of course, we had to, but Butcher T had to investigate. And this song is one of the best, if not the best, hip-hop song I've heard in my life till this day. And this is what it sounds like.
We all agree tonight, all of us have agreed, that America has a very serious problem.
Oh, wow. Self-destruct. destruction.
No destruction.
Oh, no destruction, brother.
No destruction.
Stop the violence.
Well, today's topic, self-destruction. It really ain't the rap audience is bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that
that's KRS-One.
Fight for what's right, yeah. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive, we don't kill our relatives. Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's the blame? Headlines, front page, and raps the name.
Hold on, I might just start a party in this studio here. Man, you know what, one of the questions, you produced this, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I was 18 years old when I produced that.
Wow.
And Butcher T says to ask you this question. How did you get all these rappers into one studio to do their little piece?
Well, I wasn't responsible for bringing the rappers together, and that was one. You know, all the rappers on there had a great deal of respect for our group, for BDP, for KRS in particular. You know, but they had a great deal of respect for what we were doing. And to put that record together, it was great. A lot of us were in there during the initial meeting when we were discussing the concept of doing a record. But when it came time to, like, producing that song, you know, people came in different times. Like, I wasn't in the studio when Public Enemy laid their part. We sent the 2-inch reels to P.E. They were on the road, and they recorded their part, and they sent it back. You know, like, when I wasn't in the studio when Dougie Fresh recorded this part. Even though I produced the song,
MC Light.
The schedules were just off, you know. You know, people were doing shows, or KRS and I were doing shows. And people were laying their tracks, you know. So, you know, once everyone finished laying their parts, I rearranged it and mixed it, and we put it out. We sold nearly 1 million copies, which back then was difficult to do. Mm-hmm. You know, to sell nearly 1 million copies is insane. It's I will say this, it is definitely my favorite production because of what it represented and the fact that that record is still played 3 decades later.
I know.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful in every sense of the word because, you know, the old guy with the gray hair still does that, you know what I mean? Because it's timeless. Yes, you put the word right. It's timeless. You never get used to it. You never forget it, you know?
True.
And I must say congrats. You know, I wish we could go on with this interview for the next 2-3 hours, but...
we'll just do it again. We'll do it again.
We will do it again. Believe you me.
We will do it again.
And I
give you my word on that. We'll do it again. We'll do it when my single comes out.
Yes,
then
sir.
You're reading. And I'll jump back on.
That hey, you're reading my mind, it. Aren't you? Because that's what I was thinking. When the single comes out, you're gonna come back and sit right across from us.
And are we gonna hear a D-Nice 2021?
No, I'm not rapping.
Are you gonna spit on your album?
No, not at all. Not at all. I thought about it, but then I was like, nah, I'm good, man. Let's just focus on this project for what it is, and it's a beautiful project. You know, like it really is. I can't lie, man. Like artists really came through for me. Some of my favorite artists, you know, they really came through, and it's going to be a solid project. And you know how like Khaled's approach is more hip hop, or like David Guetta's approach is more like
EDM and stuff,
dance music. This album is more an R&B approach, and it's just fun. It's been fun to make it, you know.
D-Nice, you said earlier in the interview, you said that you see what's happening now with all the virtual parties and everything. That's here to stay.
Yes.
Do we expect to see a D-Nice pay-per-view anytime soon?
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
Before I forget, I must say congratulations on receiving the Webby Artist of the Year.
Thank you.
What's the next project to look for to look forward to from D-Nice?
Yeah, this project here is the next one. Like, I'm not, well, the next big thing obviously is my anniversary weekend, but that's in less than 2 weeks. But that's when I premiere the song. So it's going to be a very interesting weekend because on Saturday, so exactly 2 weeks from today, so Saturday the 20th, I'm just going to go live without DJing for like four hours and utilize Instagram live rooms. So it'll be a four person chat like this and talk to different people, man. Talk to people about the music that got them through the quarantine. So it's called hashtag CQ got me through. And it's going to be awesome. A great way to discuss with people each song. So, hey, Uncle Howard, like, what song got you through the pandemic? So you can say, you know, I don't know what you're listening to, but go ahead, tell me what that song is.
The Way We Were by Barbara Streisand, okay?
Come on, like, that's a beautiful song.
It is?
So, like, just imagine this. So if I talk to all of you, and then next thing you know, I got another group of people on, and then you have, like, you know, hopefully, like, fingers crossed, Michelle Obama or an Oprah.
That's what I want to ask you about. What about Mark? Yeah. What is his name? Zuckerberg from Facebook. You did something with him?
Mark wants to jump on and share his info, like, you know, share his song. Great. But then at the end of the four-hour set, we'll create, like, you know, I'll have someone compile all of those songs. We'll create, like, a playlist that'll be, like, the Got Me Through playlist on Spotify. Like, you know, and then I'll also, at the end of that conversation, I'm going to play a set based on all of those songs. It's like the people's set. It's a set curated by everyone that's been listening to it based on the songs that got them through the pandemic.
Yes. Any famous last word, you want to ask him a question? God, we got to wrap it up.
I'm just curious. I mean, obviously, D-Nice doesn't need it because the crowds go wherever he is.
Yes.
But I know you do IG, the Zooms. But I've never seen you on Twitch. I'm curious, is that like, did you purposely say, nah, that's not for me, I'm not going there?
So it's, look, man, I got a good thing going on IG.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really good thing. It's a way to directly communicate with people. I can sign on IG and you'll get that notification, or you can happen to be on your IG and see it like, oh, D is on, and you're just immediately in there, one click. Not that I wouldn't use Twitch. I do have a Twitch account, and I have a YouTube account and all of that. I just don't use it because it's like, I like what I have. You know, I like the situation that I have. And I also wanted to go one full year of doing just that, the thing that changed the world. The world wasn't changed musically because of Twitch, nor was it changed because of YouTube or Zoom. It was changed musically because of this one particular platform. And I happen to like the platform. I happen to like the ease of it. I happen to like the closeness of it. And I also love the fact that I can read these comments. When I do like a Zoom event, I don't see the comments. So it's literally like I'm just standing here just playing music. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that feeling. So usually if I'm doing like a private Zoom event, I'll hire someone that will be in that Zoom event as well, in that Zoom conversation, to send me text messages like, hey, this person is in here. This is what they said. And then I feel connected to them. I feel like, oh, it's not just me playing music. You know, like I can't sit here at home and just play and just DJ for no one. That's why I go on as much as I do, because I want to hear music and there's no one here. I mean, my mom upstairs right now, but like usually there's no one here. So for me to just play music is just kind of boring for myself. But you know what? Let me just play a set for people. I mean, I'm expanding like Twitch eventually. Like I have Club Quarantine on Twitch.
Like you said, you obviously you don't need it. The people are going to go where you are. It's just that the whole reason why the DJs made the switch to Twitch is simply because you were getting kicked off of IG. The whole popularity of Twitch was you were able to go there and play your music, and not everybody's D-Nice. And like we ran to Twitch because of getting flagged and kicked off of IG. Totally.
And Twitch is dope, man. Like, I like that you can use Twitch and you can still use other applications while listening to the DJ. And I'm actually set up, you know, like, I mean, my whole setup is, you know, set up for IG. I got this Yamaha TF rack mount digital mixer. So it's automatically set up to feed. I can do Twitch here. Like, just by signing on. That's it. I just haven't done it yet. I'll use my Twitch account when other DJs are on to show some love and respect. But it's like, I also believe that you should let people let them do their thing. You know, like, it's dope that other DJs have found Twitch as a home, you know, and they utilize it, you know, and they found other platforms. But like, you know, I don't want to take the shine away from someone else. Like, my thing has been IG, and I'm enjoying that.
Could you young people answer me this question? What the hell is IG?
Instagram.
Oh, why, that's what I was thinking. Instagram. Why did you all say that? I'm sitting here wondering, IG's another one to confuse me. Whenever Drew texts me, he texts me on IG, PG, CG, WeG. Sometimes I'm so confused. But anyway, Instagram, what's the most, because I was looking at your thing one night and it says you have 2.5 million people or something like that. Was I reading correctly?
Wait, say it again?
I thought I saw 2.5 million people in your IG then. Let me see.
No. That's how many followers. I have 2.6 million followers on Instagram.
How much?
2.6 million followers on Instagram.
Whoa! 2.6.
Crazy.
Man, I can't get 20 people when I'm playing my love songs on...